Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, June the 11th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and thank you, everyone who chooses to join us. We are abundantly blessed by everyone who chooses to participate in this amazing process of learning and integrating the process of first century Aramaic forgiveness. We're just delighted that you're here to share with us. We're actually out in Jonesville, Virginia today, on the road again, still. It's just about the sixth city in the last 4 weeks. So we are on the road and all systems are moving forward. We have some exciting news. Today is the day that the third book that we published goes to the printer. We'll have recipes available shortly, at last. I know there are people who have been patiently waiting for a long time, but I think it will be worth it with all the new information that's in the book. It's actually about better than doubled in size from the last time we published it. Just a huge amount of work done by Jeannie and by Ari, and a relatively minor amount by me, but it's coming together, and I'll actually, after the show, finish off, and it'll be going to the printers, and we should have the new version of Enlightenment back from the printer shortly, as well as the latest version of Julie's book on healing children, loving children. It's in the publisher or printer's hands, and so it will be available in very short order. And so you'll be able to, if you're interested in ordering those books, you'll be able to get them from our website, www.whyagain.org. And just look at the catalog, and you'll see them there. And beyond that, we're just so appreciative of the people that we get to engage with. You know, I look at the phone calls that we got on yesterday's show, young lady from Washington Way, total turnaround in her life, and it's so amazing when people get their hands on the tools, and it always just opens a huge space in me when I watch how the genius of each individual applies the tools and the kinds of shifts that take place, shifts that impact generation upon generation upon generation. And as I look at that, I also look in the other direction at how much work there is still to do in the world, the insanity that's going on, the lack of human life, and I certainly appreciate everyone who steps on board with moving in the direction of awakening the truth of who we are as human beings. For those who are new to the show, the basis of our work is that if you hold a newborn child, then you know exactly what human life is. And we are looking to bring human life into full expression to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. We're probably not going to do that by talking to 7.5 billion people. But when we can get enough people who will actually engage in and use the tools to remove the cultural hostilities and fears that have been structured into us and return to a human form that is capable of engaging, capable of incarnating, literally, human life, then that active presence of love shows up. And one of the most ancient of physicists, a fellow named Yeshua, said that a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. I think we're safe in assuming he wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about humanity. You look at some of the deep, deep craziness that's going on in our world and in our culture, the insanity that happens over money, over just the slightest of offenses, and you look at what people are doing, and you realize that human life is in short supply on the planet. So every person that steps up to the plate, you know, there are people who are coming from the medicine point of view. Tomorrow morning, if you happen to be in Bristol, Virginia, pardon me, Friday morning, we'll be doing a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop at the office of Dr. Shrinker. And when we met with him last week, it was like we could start and finish each other's sentences to just watch how, you know, so many people are coming forward in the world and bringing this awesome presence of love. And here's a medical doctor whose whole conversation is about forgiveness. I mean, it was as though we were talking to ourselves in meeting with him. So it's just so fabulous to see so many people who are bringing forward the truth of who we are and supporting awesome active presence of love. And then stepping out into the world as love to address some of the insanities that are going on and to address them from the perspective of holding to that active space of love is such a powerful gift to give to the world. If you want to watch a really powerful view on what healing looks like, you know, we talked a few months ago when the film Saving Mr. Banks came out about how powerful the process was that was captured in that film. And Jeannie and I ordered the film that it's based on, Mary Poppins. I had never watched it, and so we watched Mary Poppins. And then Saving Mr. Banks is the story of Walt Disney and how over a period of 20 years he approached the author of the book, Mary Poppins, and tried to turn it into a movie and the struggles they went through. And as you get toward the end of the film, you see how insane the non-human mind can be in the way this woman deals with everyone, and I mean everyone in her circle. And then how, as Walt Disney opens space for her to process, as he is able to process himself, and for her to process some of her pain, some of her trauma, and see through to the root of the why and how she wrote Mary Poppins and why and how she was so reluctant to have it turned into film. It's such a powerful demonstration. If you want to get a bird's eye view of how the past impacts people's behaviors, for instance, there's a scene where she arrives in California and they've got all these toys, all these, you know, Disney characters in her room and fruit and as a child, fun was not an allowed thing, and winds around to where you see where the root of one of the scenes where there are pears in the hotel room. And this is apparently a true story. And she takes these pears and throws them off of her balcony into the pool. No pears in the house. And then later you see how a child how the adult is being controlled by the decisions made by a child when she was 10 or 11 years of age. And here she is, I don't know, this woman's probably in her 50s or 60s at the time the film was made. And here she is throwing pears out because of a 10-year-old's experience and the decisions made by a 10-year-old. And the way they cut away to present day and her childhood, it's just so powerful. And in the end, as she sees, and the object of her love was her father, who basically failed her, left her, and her pain around that. And you can just see how it has run her whole life. And then as she sees, there's a powerful line where Disney says, "We're going to take care of your father." And I'll just say that much about it, so I'm not giving it away, but there's just such a powerful space where he provides that idea. And then to watch her as the movie is playing out and she's sitting in the audience, and to watch her processing this pain that she's carried around for so many decades, it's just driven her whole life. And sadly, most of humanity is walking around carrying these unresolved traumas and have no idea how their behavior is being impacted today. They're in contact with so little of their internal dynamics that they have no idea what runs them. And it's interesting when you look at the Aramaic language, and the Aramaic is just such a gift to us, but in that language there is a suffix that when you add it to a word indicates that something from the unconscious is controlling perception and behavior. The suffix is uta, O-O-T. We've talked about that many times in the show before. And you look at this woman, a grown woman, in her, again, I think she's probably in her 60s, and she takes the pears that have been left on the table for her as a gift, a fruit basket. The other fruit's okay, but here she goes in a really upset place, throws these pears off the balcony, uta brain cells. There's no language on the planet that has this level of comprehension. We are still so primitive in this culture in understanding the dynamics of our own minds. But in the Aramaic, they would add a suffix, O-O-T-A, to the word that represents those hidden brain cells. And so as this woman throwing the pears in a from a very painful place. It's kind of hard to tell whether it's rage or just hurt, but she's throwing these pears off of her balcony. And you get to see later in the film the uta brain cells, where that unconscious dynamic started that is now controlling her perception, that she can't even stand to be in a room with pears in the room, her perception. And then her behavior, you know, she doesn't hand them off to somebody out in the hall, or she just throws them off the balcony. And so many people's behaviors their whole lives long are controlled by these unconscious dynamics. And we're so blessed to have the teachings of Yeshua from the original Aramaic, and to be able to begin to understand those dynamics is such a gift. And we invite anyone who's listening, if you ever find yourself acting against your own will and choice, regretting things you've said or you've done, then know that what's controlling your perception and behavior are those uta brain cells. If people look at you and you do a behavior and they say, "Are you crazy? What did you do?" You say, "Well, that was perfectly normal." Well, it has become the norm to function out of unconscious pain. And sadly, there are those who would take advantage of that and keep people in their unconscious pain. And what we're looking to do is to support people being able to open the hidden parts of their minds that cause them to do irrational things, to hurt the people around them, the people that they say they love. You know, I mean, just look at the insanity of the culture. We have songs, popular songs, that thousands of people go around singing. You only hurt the one you love. How bizarre is that? that people buy into that and think that normal. Why has it become the norm? It has become the norm because we have a dissociated or a hidden, an unconscious part of the mind that contains unresolved pain. And when that unresolved pain runs behavior, then we do irrational things. Every irrational action, every selfish, self-centered action, every hurtful action that is done from that set of uta brain cells, those hidden parts of the mind. And to create a space within yourself and to acquire the tools with which to open those parts of the mind, literally removing the content from brain cells. When you think forgiveness, think remove, rather than letting somebody else off the hook, rather step inside yourself and remove what never belonged. And as you do, everything starts to change. A whole new world opens. And we're here to open a whole new world for ourselves, as each of us does our work, and for everyone that we contact. So we're delighted to be here with you, and Jamie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is, and I have him turned on.
Awesome. Well, let's say hello to the young man. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. A delight to be here. I was just, I forget where, but recently I saw like the trailer to that movie, and with my exposure to this work, it became very clear what the movie was going to do and where it was going. And so I just sat here listening to your description and wondering how many people actually have the brain cells to understand the deeper levels of what that movie's about. And I'm glad to be on this side of that set of brain cells. I was just meeting with somebody, and they've been in the 12-step programs for quite a while, and they were saying that they were getting really moved physically and emotionally by what I was saying about looking inside for my upset rather than looking outside at the trigger and blaming the trigger for causing it. And one of the things they say a lot in the AA or 12-step rooms is, if you spot it, you got it. And they use that in the negative frequently, if not exclusively. And she was moved almost to tears when I said, but you know, the opposite is also true. If you're able to look at someone and appreciate their intelligence and their creativity and their loving nature, that's because you have that within you. That's your true nature as well. And so often there are so many, quote, corrective processes or healing processes that are focused on the disease and the negative, and not, in my opinion, not enough focused on the whole package. And the only way I'm able to see and appreciate someone else's genius or true loving nature or creativity is because that's also residing in me. And when I see it in them and I feel moved by it within myself, they didn't cause that in me. Just like they don't cause the anger in me, they don't cause the joy and the love feelings in me either. So that's been a big part of today's sessions. And last night we had our support group again. It's a Tuesday, so last night was Tuesday, so we had another, this was, we had three brand new people there, and a total of 14 people plus me, and we watched the first half of Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment. And it was very interesting because people were talking about how last year when they saw this video, it was disruptive and disturbing, and they had all kinds of things stirred up in them, and how this this time around. They heard different things. They were able to appreciate it at different levels. And several people were still called. They felt they were being challenged by the material to step up to a different level or to have a negative reaction against what was being asked. And so it was a very productive group session. And then I got the delight of being able to do another worksheet because nobody else had one they wanted to do out loud, and we had two brand new people and one who was only there for the second time. So I had the delight of being supported in doing another worksheet process, and it was just a wonderful evening.
Very powerful. A couple of things that you bring to mind as you say that, you know, when I speak to a new group, oftentimes I'll start out speaking about my purpose in being there, and I'll offer that. Well, if you're in pain, if you're in turmoil, if you're in trauma, if you're in disturbance, then I hope that what I have to say will bring you some solace and give you some tools for healing. And if you become complacent in your life, then I hope what I have to say will stir up some pain and turmoil and trauma if it's in you. And people laugh, but the truth is that we have to stir those things to get on the other side of them. And for me, in watching that, you know, we'd seen the film when it first came out, Saving Mr. Banks, and then we ordered Mary Poppins and watched it, and it gave a different context for watching Saving Mr. Banks, how the two of them fit together. So if someone's going to see that, it's powerful to watch Mary Poppins first and have that, you know, Mr. Banks experience right afterward and seeing how they link and how powerful it all fits, together. And, you know, you also triggered the story of the Native American child that goes to, young man who goes to one of the elders, and he says, I had this fight, this war going on within me, and I have this black dog and I have this white dog, and I don't know which one's going to win. One of them is angry and disruptive, and one of them is peaceful and loving. And the elder says, I know exactly which one is going to win. And the young man says, well, how do you know what which one is going to win? And the elder says, the one that you feed. Someone was saying the other day that the old cliche that your life will turn out very much like the five people that you spend the most time with. The five minds, the five mouths that you listen to the most are the ones that are going to provide the frequencies that produce results in your life. And so, you know, the invitation, if one is in the negative realm, I was just reading this morning on the internet some information about what turning point in the music industry, where at in one particular facet of the music industry, there was a decision, a purposeful decision made to move into very destructive lyrics, into criminal lyrics, into promoting criminality, and how that linked to a purposeful decision in the music and this kind of mindset, and that at least this particular website was linking that to investors in private prisons and wanting to keep the prison cells full, and seeing the lyrics that were used in, you know, particular types of music as a way to keep people in anger and keep people in a criminal mindset. And so, you know, to really look at, you know, what are the five minds you spend the most time with is powerful. And you will tend to grow into a likeness of the overall resonance of those five minds, of those five sources of information. And, you know, it's time in a lot of cases for people to cut themselves off from the minds that brainwash them with hostility or fear through the tube, through video games. You look at how many people are into that destructive mindset in video games and think, oh, well, it doesn't mean anything. But when you realize that we are frequency beings, we are energetic beings, it's so important where we spend our time. It's so important where we put our focus. And so certainly the stories that come forward from the support groups as they move forward and watch how those minds spending time together change their lives is pretty awesome, pretty powerful.
Well, it's really a deep and loving process and a fabulous group. I'm deeply honored to be associated with them, and they create such a wonderful space of love and support for each other that I can highly recommend it as a valuable expenditure of time and energy to either attend a group or to begin your own.
For sure, for sure. I was talking with Mike Kaufman yesterday afternoon, and Friday night he led the support group. Margaret had done it the week before in Boca Raton, Florida. The second and fourth Fridays, I believe it is, of every month, there is a support group meeting in Boca. And Margaret was a little under the weather, so Michael took the support group, and it sounds like it was just an awesome happening. I think he said they had 19 people. And, you know, just watch people coming together in groups all over the globe and bringing these tools forward is just a fabulous gift to receive and to give to the world. So we appreciate everyone and who starts and continues a support group. And a support group can consist of just one person, two people, who continue the process. And Jeannie has put a huge amount of information on the website, contributed from many sources of people who've been running support groups and their input and their advice and their structures. And so you're certainly welcome, everybody, to look on whyagain.org under support groups and MindShifter support groups. And we invite anyone who has an interest and everyone who has an interest to start a support group. You don't have to know anything about the work to do that. All you need is an interest in, I want to learn forgiveness. I want to engage in my process. I want to create a space where there's support for deepening contact with the parts of me that need to be healed and people who can support me in using the tools and learning the tools and holding the space to move that energy. And it's just an awesome gift to give yourself. So if there's anybody who wants to get that started, you know, the DVDs to present to the group for people to watch and discuss and do worksheets together. And the miracles that show up are pretty amazing, pretty amazing. So, Jeannie, before I say this, I'll just say it once again. Our call-in number, if you're on one of those stations that we don't get to see on our switchboard, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear from you, your questions, your thoughts. And, Jeannie, is there anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room for us to be aware of?
No, there's just some chit-chat going on in the chat room. Nobody has their hand up. So if someone will press 1, you're first in line with no wait.
So we've got about 30 minutes or so, so there's time for some good discussion. What kind of deeper issues? You know, it's interesting how sometimes people sabotage themselves. I see people who call into the show in the last 3 minutes with this big, major question. It's like, and where are we going to have the space to deal with that? It's not going to happen in the next 3 minutes. So call in tomorrow early in the show. So here's an opportunity. You've got some deeper discussions, some questions. And, you know, if you're feeling, you know, kind of shy or, gee, my voice might be shaky, I'm going to be on the radio, take a breath. Let go of concerns in that regard. And know that your questions are important. Your questions are useful to everyone. There are no, you know, people talk about, well, this is just a stupid question. There are no stupid questions. Every foundation piece in understanding how to use the tools is important and appropriate, and your questions are an important part of the process. So if Dr. Tim and I had just been on a stage together and had the conversation we've just had, what question would come up for you? I know if I were walking down off the stage, if Dr. Tim were, you'd be storming us with questions. Well,
we have a Skype caller.
Oh, cool. Let's take a look.
Skype caller, you are on the line. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Asheville, North Carolina, and my name is Andrea.
Welcome. How are you, young lady?
Hey, Michael. I'm great. Thank you. It's my first time on the show, and I have a big question. So I hope I'm calling at the right time. Okay. First of all, I want to say how incredibly fortunate I feel that I have had the chance to attend your seminars. And I have had your book for a number of years and read it long ago. But I guess there's just no substitute for the direct work. I found that enormously helpful. Although the book is fabulous and everything you said is in the book, but hearing it directly from you was monumental. Now, I have been doing the worksheets, and I have a question if you can help me illuminate on this one subject. I sit down with them 5 times a day and try to start at the number one. Question is this my resistance or is this my illumination? I sit down and have a feeling when I have to answer the first question, do I need to read it out for the audience or is it just okay to just say the answer? It's the first statement on your worksheet. Basically, I just sit there blank and go, there's nothing to forgive to no one. No forgiveness is needed. I'm at a point where I'm thinking, nobody needs my forgiveness. Everybody is doing exactly
what they're supposed to be doing
at exactly the right time, and it's all unfolding according to the plan, and I'm just blank.
That's true. Nobody needs your forgiveness. And so our first suggestion is going to be that you never forgive anyone ever for anything. And that you never forgive yourself for anything. Never, ever, ever do that.
Would you never forgive? Did I say correct? I have a little bit of a bad connection. Would you kindly mind repeating that? So the first suggestion is not to forgive anyone for anything, including yourself. Myself.
Correct.
Because I came to that, it went like this. I went through the whole list of people, and I waited. And I'm doing this ever since I started doing these 5 worksheets a day, which was, I do believe, Tuesday. No, Monday. And I came to myself. I said, oh, wait a second, myself. And I'm sitting there, too. And I said, do I need my own forgiveness? And I said, no. I don't need my own forgiveness either. And then I said, wait a second. You are just bluffing yourself. This is resistance. This must be resistance. Place of where-isness. I'm at the place of where-isness. Where it is as it is. And as it is, all is well.
So here's my input for you. When I say never forgive anyone for anything, and never forgive yourself for anything,
right?
What we are looking to do is to understand what the word forgive means.
Right.
You live in a culture that says that forgiveness is, I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
I forgive you. You did something really terrible that caused all this pain inside of me, so I'll forgive you. I'll let you off the hook. And if we call that forgiveness, then we have done no forgiveness because letting others off the hook for what's happening inside of us has nothing whatsoever to do with forgiveness. that's crazy. Maybe, Jeannie, maybe you could mute so that the noise in the background is off and then back on when I complete. So when I choose to pardon you or another, you know, somebody does something crazy, off the wall, inappropriate, myself included, then I may choose pardoning. I may choose to say, you know, what you did, what I did was inappropriate, wrong, nasty, whatever the word is, and I'm going to pardon you, or I pardon myself for that. And then look at the fact that if I have some form of emotional disturbance, if I have some form of upset around what's happening in my life, then into the actual process of forgiveness, which has nothing whatsoever to do with anyone outside of me, but rather it's the tool with which I go inside myself and I remove literally the capacity for any form of turmoil. For instance, if I can share a little bit, you know, on Saturday you did some breathing, and with Still Point Breathing, and you spoke about there was some conflict with your daughter. So forgiveness would not be something you would apply to your daughter. It would be something, it would be the tool with which you go inside yourself and you remove your own turmoil around that situation. So you're not forgiving yourself, you're not forgiving them, you're utilizing the tool of first century Aramaic forgiveness to remove what never belonged. And what never belonged in your energy field is any form of hostility or fear. Now, oftentimes when one steps into doing the worksheets, they go blank because there is resistance. And, you know, there's a disorder that I talk about that I refer to as premature positive thinking. And premature positive thinking, and it sounds a little bit like what you were saying just a moment ago, everything's perfect, everything's fine. Well, if I listen to your conversation from last week and what's happening in your family system, everything's not perfect and everything isn't fine. And when you stop and tell yourself the truth and are honest with yourself and you look at there are some things that are going on that, at least when I listened to your language last week, that you see as not being fair, then that would be a place to do forgiveness work, to go inside yourself and address the reality of things not being fair, of things being done to you, of victimhood. And so if there's a reality internally of victimhood, then forgiveness would not be, well, the person who just abused me, I let them off the hook. That would be pardoning. So once I've got someone who I classify as having abused me or victimized me, then I might choose to pardon them, and if I choose to pardon them, then I'm complete on the external. Then I want to go inside, and I want to literally remove the part of my mind that sees me as a victim. And the point to really look at is when the stress is up and the chips are down, what mindset do I go into? Not when I get away from it all and things get quiet and I can, you know, kind of hum and meditate and say, oh, everything is wonderful and fine. But to really where the rubber meets the road, when the stress is up and the chips are down, to be able to say everything is fine is different than when my upset comes forward and I start talking about how I've been victimized. That's where you take the forgiveness process inside. And because we tend to come from generations and generations and generations of certain patterns, it can be difficult to really, truly address those patterns, to really own those patterns, and to be able to let go of them. And so what we're here to do is to apply the forgiveness process to those painful realities inside of ourselves that never belonged inside of the human system. In the ancient Aramaic language, the word Satan is not an uppercase word. It is not the name of a person. The word Satan is a lowercase word, and what it means is the resistor, one who misleads. So if I'm carrying around pain and turmoil, and I go into the state of premature positive thinking, oh, everything's wonderful, then I'm in resistance to looking at the truth of what's going on inside of me. And when I go into that resistance, then my mind makes up a story that reinforces my denial and my dissociation. I don't want to have to look, and I don't want to have to deal with this. And so the worksheet is about dropping down, drilling down into those deeper hidden parts of the mind. You know, you might find it interesting. I don't know if it's still playing at the theaters, but, you know, you could maybe go and rent the movie Saving Mr. Banks. And you see this woman who, you know, she's British. She lives in a very nice house, obviously has money, and lives in a very stiff upper lip and a state of, what would my word be, just such a reserved life, and keeps herself distant from those things she doesn't want to deal with. For instance, Walt Disney, for 20 years, every year for 20 years, he has come back to her and made her an offer to buy the rights to her book so he can make a movie. And she just lives totally like nothing out of place exists. I'm this fine British woman and everything in my world is wonderful. And then she gets into the studio where they're showing her what they're going to do with her movie, and all of a sudden the root of her stiff upper lip, you know, the British stiff upper lip sort of thing, the root of that starts to surface, and she rages and she runs away and she tries to escape and she wants to go back to her nice little house. The thing that keeps her challenged, the thing that keeps her moving in the direction of doing this film with Disney, is that her nice little life and her nice little house and her money's running out. And her agent comes to her and says, you're going to have to take this deal because you don't have any money left and you're going to lose your lifestyle. So she lives above it all, you know, kind of like the flamingo flies over the clouds and everything's fine. Premature positive thinking. When she starts to delve into her life, and, you know, rent that film and watch it, as she starts to delve into her life, as life forces her to drill down into her own mind, all of a sudden her denial and dissociation is overcome, and she has to deal with her rage, and she has to deal with her hurt, and she has to deal with the pain that she carries around inside of her but keeps herself cut off from. The idea of the worksheet is to support us in drilling down into those dynamics within ourselves instead of pretending everything's fine when it's not, bringing those things to the surface, which is not Dr. Feelgood, and really truly applying the tools to move through those dynamics. You watch this woman. She comes into Disney Studios, and she's a whirlwind. I mean, she trashes everybody she speaks to. And she's got it all figured out, and she's got it all handled, and her life is perfect. And so she's forced to start to look deeper. And you see where those dynamics come from. And she starts to drill down into them, which is not Dr. Feelgood. The invitation of this work is to drill down into the dynamics, not just of our own lives, but the lives of our parents that are carried within us, the dynamics, the principles that they learned, that they passed on to us, and of our parents' parents and their parents before them, to be able to drill down into those things and remove the influences that keep us in any form of negativity. So, the forgiveness process is about drilling down inside and cleaning up the internal dynamics rather than trying to live above it. You know, there's a very powerful definition that Yeshua gives to one who lives in a world where they pretend that everything's fine on the outside, but the inside tells a different story. And he goes to dinner. The Pharisees invite him to dinner. And the Pharisees shocked because he doesn't wash his hands. And when Yeshua is confronted with that, he points out to the Pharisee, here you are, you keep the outside of the cup and the platter neat and clean, you keep everything perfect, but then he says, inside your hearts are filled with hostility and fear. Forgiveness is about moving down into that hostility and fear in very real ways, allowing those things, instead of them just coming up in the moment of stress, when we, you know, maybe pour them out on somebody else, but in a moment of safety, in a state of choice, being able to open that veil and to look inside at what the dynamics are and to clean them up. So that's the idea of the worksheet. It's got nothing to do with forgiving anyone for anything. It's the act of drilling down inside yourself and cleaning up those dynamics. Does that make sense?
Hello?
I'm here.
Michael?
Start over again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
There was an interference. Basically, you see, I suspected as much. I do not put it past myself to outsmart myself very easily. So I've been sitting there suspecting my own case. I said, what is going on here? Because I am aware that everything is not fine. And yet, I experience this peace with it, but I don't trust this peace. I don't want it to be a pretend peace, or peace of denial, or let's say peace of resistance, peace of, you know, a wrong kind of peace. And I'm sitting there trying to, I guess I just will take more time and sit patiently with this and see where it goes. I kind of feel...
Go ahead.
I kind of feel, you know, I went through the list of people and I tried different names or people and tried to work through the sheet, and what comes up is nobody needs my forgiveness, or nobody even needs to be let off the hook. And then I came to myself and did the same thing with myself with different issues. And what the feeling that I experience when I'm trying to do this, it's compassion. It's compassion. Compassion toward self and compassion toward others. But I don't entirely trust it because it's too soon. It's too soon. We did this workshop only this last weekend, and I think it's a little too soon for me to be illuminated. I think the timeline is not right. I'm sorry, Michael. I would trust your analysis or suggestion. I think what I have to do is sit longer in a very open and sincere way and see where this goes.
Yes. And so, for instance, you had a conversation during your still point breathing session on Saturday with your daughter, and there was disturbance there. So let me finish my sentence. I suggest this is probably a very important topic because you want to just talk over me and stop me from speaking. And instead of listening, and you'll remember that last week during the workshops, a couple of times I stopped you and said, you know, you've asked a question. Now you've got to stop your mind long enough to listen. This is a signal there's something in there you're protecting that you don't want to look at. And so I'll just invite you to hear my complete input for you and then, you know, whatever you've got to say. But whenever, I'll just offer from observing you over the last week that whenever your stress goes up, I notice that you tend to stay in your head and talk over people instead of stopping when you've asked a question and actually listening. So my suggestion would be that you take your daughter's name and you put it on a worksheet. And then you didn't give me any of the details about what was happening with her in your still point session, but whatever that conversation is about, I'd go ahead and do some worksheets around that. You shared with me earlier in the week that there were certain actions that your father did towards your mother. And I won't open that up. If you'd like to open the conversation with details, we could, but no need to do that. But I would say that doing some worksheets on your father and how you would have liked to have seen him treat your mother and what could be different in your life today would be powerful places to step inside and begin to do worksheets. So there'd be a couple of arenas that I think you might find productive.
Thank you for those suggestions. Is this my cue, Michael, when they say unmuted?
Yes, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly for these suggestions. Well, I wanted to maybe just add the event that occurred during the still point with concerning my daughter was a nonverbal, non-visual, purely energetic exchange in which my daughter had a hard time letting me go. It was all about not wanting to be released from each other. That's what it was. We spoke since a number of times and had a very, I don't feel there's a problem there with my daughter per se. It is just that she told me in the real world, outside world, on the phone conversation, she said, "Mom, I need you to be around for a long time yet." And I said, "I want to be around for a very, very, very long time yet." So I don't think there's resistance there. But I will be very happy to look into the generational worksheets and generational issues on both sides of the family and address those and see what comes up.
Awesome. Well, you know you've got our support. Let's see if Dr. Tim has any input for you.
Well, I would just agree that the idea of premature positive thinking is one of the biggest traps. And I would just echo that putting words on the page and forcing myself to go through it, even if it feels mechanical, is one of the best ways to stir the stuff up. And I'm one of the best at trying to talk myself out of needing to do a worksheet or needing to stay in the process. That's one of the reasons that I'm try to be on the radio show 5 days a week and try to go to the work group, the support group every Tuesday. And I put these other things in my life where I've made a commitment to someone to show up and do the work because I have a tendency to just want to go ride my bike or go fishing and not do the work because it's not always Dr. Feelgood. So if you can just force yourself to step through the process, even though logic might be telling you there really isn't anything to work on here, and just pretend there might be and see what that leads you to.
Good input, Tim. And Andrea, I would offer that I'd strongly urge you and support you in going out and renting that movie, Waiting for Mr. Banks, and watch it. Watch how this woman has her life totally controlled and in her mind totally perfect until she's forced to start to drill down. The people around her tend to resist her because she functions out of the unconscious dynamics of her pain. but she thinks that's normal. And the people around her tend to push her away because what she's doing isn't normal. It isn't reasonable. But she can't see that until she's confronted and forced to deal with her life. And I think you may find that film very, very useful to watch. And if I were you, I would get it and watch it as soon as possible. Call, and we are here to support you. And I would love it if every day you have a question and need support in understanding the worksheet and applying them, that's what we're here to do. So we're delighted to be here to support you. And Jeannie tells me that we have another caller. Jeannie?
Yes, and also I forgot to remind people that today is Possibility Wednesday. Dora's tied up for a few weeks and can't be on here to remind us of their possibilities on Wednesday. And so the caller, and we're down to about 3 minutes, the caller's area code 910. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael. This is Susan Darnell.
Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Hey, I just had a thought when Andrea, I met her this past weekend, and I just had a thought when she was talking. I have done worksheets on resistance and the thought that I'm fooling myself and move the energy that way. And another thing I thought about was, we had the experience at the Steel Point this weekend of doing a mind shifter. And for her to pick a number between 1 and 3 and 1 and 13 and work on a mind shifter, ask Ruka for guidance and then have that number come to her. And maybe out of that writing, she might could pick some things that fear or whatever comes up to do worksheets on. And if none of that works, then she can call me. Because I love doing worksheets, and I'm sure I can at least support her. And she has my number.
Awesome. Nice support, young lady. Thank you.
Thank you. And I wanted to say that.
Go ahead. I was just going to say it was fabulous to have you at the Steel Point this weekend, and I certainly appreciate your willingness to be there and reach out and support for Andrea.
You are welcome, Michael. And I thank you for making the effort to go back and do that Steel Point on Saturday. I just am amazed at the difference in my body. I had that problem in my neck with the spasms, and as I breathed some yesterday too, and as it moved out, I noticed that I can turn and look over my shoulder when I'm driving. My range of motion is amazing, and I'm thinking that metaphorically as I am able to look behind me now, and break some of that denial that I have had, hopefully. And I've been doing worksheets on the word break. So I see it coming up again. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's good, though. It's all good. I'll do more worksheets. But I love the show. I appreciate you. And anyway, I'm looking forward to my next adventure with the Steel Point breathing.
Awesome.
Or the intensive. So I sent you a Facebook message, too.
Okay, I'll check it out when we get off the show. When you talk about your neck, and we did some work with you on that, so are you seeing a range of motion that's been restricted for some time that's returned?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. For years, I just noticed, and you know what I thought, just like everybody, oh, I'm getting old. I'm not going to be able to look over my shoulder. And I think, we worked on commitment this weekend in my mind shifter. And I have had a lot of shame and sadness and pain around looking at my past relationships. And it looks like now it's reflecting that I'm more willing to do, to look and to see and to let go of. And that's what the thing was in Steel Point. They kept saying, let go. I kept getting the message, let go, let go. And it's just synchronistic. If anybody hasn't got to a mind shifter, Steel Point breathing, when you come, I'm just encouraging everybody listening, that is the most powerful thing, just to be there in that energy of that love resets me to love. And it's not as good. It's almost as good as an intensive. It's a minute part, but intensives are fantastic. If you can get there, you can take 10 years off your work. I mean, just being in the presence of love and getting back to that state of consciousness. It's wonderful. I'm just encouraging.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, and we're out of time, so thank you, and we'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Bring a stranger to the show, give the world the best gift yet, the best living eternal lessons. Bye-bye.